Nathaniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 52. Happy anniversary, everybody, for September 12th, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, The Real Mother Effing News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one stop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get into the panel this week, first of all, we have reached the one-year mark for Old School at the Movies. Happy one-year anniversary to all the listeners, all the panelists. I know you guys have jumped on at various episodes, but very exciting that we've done a full year. Usually most podcasts die after episode 5 on average, so we're still going strong. Episode 52 and counting. Contact information, oldschoolmovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies, D-O-T-net. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. We got Mr. Heavyset.
Allons-y.
We got Cabo Trek.
Allons-y.
We got Gallifrey.
Hello, everyone.
And we've got Will.
Allons-y.
3 out of 4 Allons-y's approved.
The fact that Gallifrey didn't do it is kind of insulting.
Well, she's independent. She's an independent thinker, and she's not an Allons-y.
No, it's because she doesn't like David Tennant.
I say Geronimo, but people might think that I like Matt Smith a lot more than I do.
Did you masturbate a lot more than I did? No, that's what I heard.
Matt Smith. Matt Damon. Matt Smith. The 11th Doctor. He's actually my favorite Doctor, but that's a different story.
No, the best Doctor is number 12, by far.
Oh. Who's that? Is that Hugh Grant?
No, he's not there yet. We just know the actor, that's all.
It's Austin Powers.
This week, guys, we're going a little bit off of our regular show type of style. Because there's not a lot going on, to be honest, in the news, apart from RoboCop trailer. Check that out. I'll add it to the show notes. But besides that, you know, Vin Diesel came with some crappy movie last week. So I said, you know what, let's do one of our specials, but let's focus on some of the movies that didn't do well. You know, we always talk about blockbusters and all the good movies. What about those flops, those horrible movies? And sometimes at certain points, you know, you've got a lot of potential and it doesn't even make money either. So we're going to go through the biggest flops ever. And surprisingly, we've actually got a lot on the list over the last couple of years. So we're going in terms of the amount of gross, and it's in no particular order, really. But I figured we'd just throw some of the ones that would resonate the most. And actually, Will had suggested I mention this one first. It's a movie called Heaven's Gate. Came out in 1980. It's a Western epic of sorts with a huge inflated budget, Will.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to discuss this I'll tell you what,
because you said that many of them have come out these past few years, right? These giant bombs. And that's all related to this guy. The thing is this film bombed so bad. Not necessarily in the amount of money, because remember, films cost less to make back then. But I mean, in comparison, this was a lot. And they lost all their money, and they were banking on Michael Cimino, who had done The Deer Hunter, and they thought he would be the next Francis Ford Coppola. So they gave him, they said, yeah, well, it's fine, we'll do it. It bombed so bad that United Artists ended up no longer existing as a company. And and not only that, but it destroyed his career. He never did Western epics again. It's like I think his next movie was some random Mickey Rourke film he's like a tough cop in Chinatown, whatever, something like that. It didn't go well for him. But the deal is that after that, there was a lot more studio involvement where they didn't let the director do his own stuff.
Yeah, because back in the day, it was very director-driven.
Yes, the 70s, you have The Godfather, Scorsese's Taxi Driver, and even Michael Cimino's Deer Hunter, all director-driven. They stopped it. In the 80s, there was none of that, which is hence why you had a lot of, I'd say a lot more brand names. If that's okay with me saying, get my expression, okay, yeah, more brand names, things that you know, marketable. So you saw that was more like films were made that they knew they could make money. And it took a long, long time for there to, and it worked really well. There were not as many bombs then. 20 years later, we're seeing that those studio execs, those notions are gone. Something's been forgotten. And people are taking bigger risks now that they didn't take in the past 30 years because of Heaven's Gate. And we're noticing that these risks may not be so well for the film industry since now we're getting these bombs again. That's all I wanted to mention.
Why do you think this vicious cycle is coming back?
Oh, because I think it's always there. People, I guess, are greedy and looking for anything. But the fact that they're less conservative now is because I think that 30 years is a career. So I think people that were there when this happened are no longer in Hollywood in those positions. Yeah.
All right, let's get into a movie I saw yesterday, actually. It was released not too long ago called R.I.P.D. This is starring Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds, Kevin Bacon as well as the lead antagonist.
And so is Teabag's in it too, right?
Teabag, it does have a small part in it, yes, for all of you fans of Prison Break. This one, it had a production budget of $130 and actually only grossed a total worldwide gross of $66 million. Now, in terms of box office revenue, we usually have to split that in half because the theaters and that take the other half. So, in actuality, this movie made around $30 million. As you can imagine, doing the math very quickly, this wasn't very profitable for Universal. I'll say my thoughts quickly on the movie. To me, it was an attempt to recreate Men in Black. Now, so if you've seen Men in Black, you know how that goes. It's pretty much the same premise where Ryan Reynolds plays kind of like the Will Smith. Jeff Bridges plays the Tommy Lee Jones. They work for the Rest in Peace Department, and they have a term of 100 years that they have to serve. And if they go around the earth collecting these dead souls that haven't gone up to heaven or hell yet, and these souls turn into monsters just like Men in Black. So if you see Men in Black, you know exactly how this goes. And so in my head, I'm trying to figure, okay, what went wrong here? And I'll give you my theories, and everybody else, you could jump in at any time. I'll say first, to be honest, I think it was a very packed summer. There was a lot of movies coming out at that time, and I think it just got forgotten. In terms of advertising, I do not remember seeing a lot of ads for this. I could be wrong in that, but the story was actually pretty good. I mean, it's your standard traditional box office blockbuster for the summer. Maybe Ryan Reynolds is no longer a draw. I don't know if he was ever a draw, really. Those are my thoughts quickly. Anybody else want to jump in on this?
I think I'm going to have to agree with you on that. I look at this movie, when I first seen the trailer for it, I actually thought it wasn't too bad. What's her name from Weeds, Mary Louise Parker. I know my girlfriend's a big fan of hers, and I kind of like her too. So we were like, oh, we wanted to really go see this movie, but it definitely was timing. I felt like, you kind of compared it to Men in Black. And if I'm correct, Men in Black, well, the first one, I want to say that was like a October release. It was like a fall time. It wasn't summer. So they put it out then when it's not as crowded, and that's probably why it made a bigger splash. I mean, in all actuality, it didn't look too terrible. And I actually do want to sit down and watch it here soon, but it was the time it came out, and it's exactly what you said too, of there not being enough promotion for it. Like, I don't think I've seen barely anything of it. Like, a fraction of what you would see for a summer movie.
Yeah, I mean, they had all the other pieces. You know, you've got a great supporting role in Jeff Bridges. The thing is, he's playing a hybrid of like True Grit and Tommy Lee Jones from Men in Black. So it's really, he just took that same character and put it into an action movie, which I thought was cool. I think he played the role well. Ryan Reynolds is a good lead. In most cases, at least I thought he was. So that's the only thing I could think of here. It's just a saturated market and bad marketing.
Wait, Ryan Reynolds is a good lead? So you're saying nothing else on this list has Ryan Reynolds in lead?
We will get to that.
Will took exactly what I was thinking too. I almost think since X-Men, Wolverine, he's kind of gone downhill.
No. There was the Sandra Bullock movie did really, really well. He's good with rom-coms.
Yeah, well, and then what you would expect him to be better at, because there's a lot of people could do good rom-coms except for the rom-com we do have on here, which I think that's a rom-com. I've never seen it, but...
Are you talking about the one with Batman?
Town & Country? Yeah.
Wait, I was saying with Batman? No.
Yeah. Actually talk about the one with Batman.
Batfleck, yeah.
Batfleck. Anyway, yeah, it's... I don't know if I would say Ryan Reynolds is a leading man, especially for an action movie of any type.
Oh, by the way, I don't think crowded, yeah, in the sense that this isn't the brand name, but I think this sort of proved that, like, the same weekend you had Fast and Furious 6, you had Hangover 3, and you also had you had an animated movie, and you also had the second week of Star Trek. And all those movies did really well that weekend. I remember we looked at the stuff. It was people went to see all those movies. So I don't think it's necessarily the fact that it's crowded. I think a movie with a recognizable brand name will always do well. This one didn't. I think it's more that. And I did see trailers for it, but I mean, it was, I don't know if you remember the trailer. It was like, the joke was that in real life, you look like someone else. And Brian Rose looked like some old Asian dude. Whatever. That was like the one joke trailer. Nobody cared. It looked uninteresting. And also, I have one question for you, old school. The effects, did they look like... Does the movie look like it cost $150 million, or does it look like it cost less?
To me, it did. It was a big budget. It felt like a big budget action movie.
Because to me, it looks like Jonah Hex. It reminds me somehow of Jonah Hex, this whole thing. In the same
way, like... I would reserve your opinion before you see it. But, but so what do you think happened here? Is it Ryan Reynolds that there was the flop here?
I think it's just a lack of a brand name. That's what it is.
All right, let's move on to our next movie. Got a trailer for it. See if bonus points for whoever gets it first.
Let them be crushed. You killed him with one blow.
Is this John Carter?
Yeah.
When I saw you, I believed that something new can come into this world.
You are John Carter of Earth?
I guess that would have gone away.
What happened to this place?
A new power threatens to destroy our city.
That don't look like a fair fight.
You are ugly, but you are beautiful.
You will fight for us!
Get on.
We did not cause this, but this very night, we will end it!
I was too late once. I won't be again.
All right, this was an epic, epic failure for the studios. This is Buena Vista was the distributor. I believe Disney was a backer with this as well. Now, the production budget was $250 million. The total, actually, surprisingly, worldwide did okay. It made $209. The problem is domestic didn't make the same number, so it's got a total worldwide gross of $282. Let's split that in two. That's about $140. So that's after prints and marketing, you're losing about $100 million there. I saw this movie as well, actually liked it. So again, there's two movies that I thought were good movies, but did not do well in the box office. I'll give my thoughts why it didn't do well and see what you guys think. But in my opinion, it was a very hard movie to market. You know, do you call it John Carter of Mars and then niche it into a sci-fi movie, which I think is the only way to do it. Because I think this movie had really an identity crisis. That was the biggest issue. When you see John Carter, you know, on the announcement, so if you didn't see a trailer or something, you're going to say to yourself, what is this, you know? And also, there's no big name in the lead role, and that might have been done on purpose. Like, you see other movies, you know, they want to build the franchise, you know, Cavill as Superman, and it wasn't a huge name, but he was casted. That way it actually made sense. So in my opinion, the bad things here, very hard movie to market, and no lead actors that were a draw. So this movie had an identity crisis. Anybody want to chime in on this?
I agree to everything you said. I also like to include a lack of brand name. This was an old thing that nobody cared about. A lot like Lone Ranger.
Right. Okay. So just, you know, a book that was written a while back. And because it wasn't
nobody
recent,
cared. Yeah, it's nobody not cared. That, but it's not like it got revived. Like, let's say they made a Power Rangers movie today. The brand name is still very much there, but John Carter isn't. It's like, okay, you know what? The same as if they made a Tarzan movie, or maybe even less so. It's not a book that needed to be shown again. Nobody was asking for this.
all good.
Yeah, I have to agree with just the name alone. It just sounded very dull and boring. The name reminds me of, even though it's not exactly the same, when I hear it, for some reason, I think of the Denzel Washington movie, John Q. I don't know why, but it just, I mean, I just think of like a normal movie. So even though I know I've seen the trailer for it so many times, but it was just like the name was really just off-putting.
You should be off-putting.
I like pudding.
I was going to say that's not even the title of the book. The title is called Princess of Mars. And by the way, in Princess of Mars, the woman's actually totally nude. So maybe if followed more to the book, it would have maybe made more money. Well, who knows?
I think if they called it Princess of Mars, I think it would have done better.
It could have.
No, it would be the main lead, right? It wouldn't be this guy.
No, so what? It's not related. The Wolfman is about the guy chasing the wolf. It's not like, in Frankenstein, the main lead is Victor. It's not necessarily, that's not necessarily how it works. The Prince
in
of Mars.
Zelda.
Yeah, in Zelda. Oh, yeah. Yeah, gee, Gallifrey, Zelda. Okay.
For the longest time, you thought that Zelda was the guy you're playing.
As a kid, everybody I thought Zelda was Link. Yeah, yeah, I did.
Everybody thinks.
I'm looking at the poster for John Carter, and I just keep thinking that it's a fantasy. Why didn't they just mark it as such? You have all these, you know, interesting characters and creatures. They should have done that. By the way, the poster is really boring. Disney on top of it. They should have made it more colorful, you know, included more people in there. You know, it was a very boring poster.
And have Tim Burton directed it. It would make tons of money for being a mediocre movie. Yeah.
Put Willem Dafoe near the front and in the front of the poster, too.
Well, Willem Dafoe is not even in that's just the voice.
Yeah, it's just the voice.
Oh, but, well, his face, his character face.
So who cares? It's not him. He's not the character's not recognizable.
Okay, whatever.
Another thing with this movie is, I mean, you have to look at its budget because
yeah, 250.
I mean, it's one of the highest. It has to be top five as far as I know in terms of budget. I mean, if this movie cost $100 million to make, it would have showed a profit. It's just the budget got so just completely bloated.
Yeah, and especially on a franchise that's not tested.
And that's exactly the issue. Like you guys have said, nobody, like I'm a sci-fi guy. I had no idea about the source material at all. So when you're pumping, let's say, 250, by the time, and they spent a lot of advertising and all that, you probably have to make, you know, $600 million to get your money back. I mean, obviously that's not counting merchandising and DVD and home box office and all that stuff, but. You know, when you're putting that much money in such an untested, unknown property, the chances of it succeeding are not very good. And there was another thing I was reading that, like, I don't specifically remember the trailer, but they were saying for an action movie, there was hardly any action in the trailer. So
that's true, there wasn't.
Yeah, I don't know if that had something to do with it. And it's just, it's a high sci-fi concept, and I don't think it had wide appeal.
I would have marketed it actually as a kids film or a family movie, like Mask of Zorro. That's what I would have done. Knowing going
would
back
you,
on
what
this.
Would you have called it?
Princess of Mars.
Yeah,
makes more sense. Yeah.
I think putting it into that sci-fi niche actually would have helped it.
Do you think more sci-fi niche, not more kid oriented?
In my opinion, yeah, make it more sci-fi and have that budget at around 100. Okay. I think.
Well, look, I got the director is it's Brad Bird, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason why it wasn't, if you're wondering what the deal was, that Brad Bird actually made Disney a ton of money. He did The Incredibles. I think that we made another Pixar film. I forget. But he did The Incredibles for sure. With all the money he made Disney, they kind of want, when he was pushing a project, they want to encourage him and also keep him in. So this was part of it. I mean, same reason why Warner Brothers let Nolan do Inception, because he made him so much money with Batman. But of course, one did really well, and John Carter not so much.
We're going to throw this to a more recent movie. Actually, John Carter's pretty recent. Yeah, when I say recent, I mean like this summer. White House Down. Now, this is the Channing Tatum, Jamie Foxx. The White House being bombed or taken over by these nasty North Koreans. This had a budget of.
Wait, no, that's not the story.
It's not.
You mixed up with the other one. No, that's Olympus Has Fallen.
Isn't White House Down? Wasn't it terrorists as well?
But I don't think it was Korean.
White House Down. No, White House Down was like these. Kind of almost like white supremacist.
Oh, okay.
It was more
anyway,
about,
so
it was the country itself taking over. Sorry.
There you go. So in general, bad guys trying to take over the White House. See, the difference between this and Olympus Has Fallen, very similar kind of stories. Of course, you know, we're talking about Koreans and not, you know, just white supremacists, but the same idea of like the White House falling victim or being taken over or president being kidnapped kind of thing. Two differences is one had a budget of about half of the other one. And that was the main thing here. You know, White House Down had a $150 million budget. Yeah, I know Channing Tatum's in it, but this, I guess this was a test for him because, you know, Hollywood has this slogan, you know, you got to have more Tatum in the movies and stuff like that. So this was really a test for him, and it didn't pan out. It grossed $72 million domestic, grossed a total worldwide of $150. So with a production budget of $150, you've got a loss there, but $75 million. That's not even including the marketing and the prints. Compared to Olympus Has Fallen, it had about half the budget, actually made a bit of money. This is before DVD sales. So to me, the fact that there was already one movie with pretty much the same storyline in the same year was a hindrance. And the budget was just too inflated. And I don't think Jamie Foxx is a draw anymore. So that's why I think this did not do well. Anybody else want to talk about it?
Oh, yes. Do you guys think that the fact that Olympus Has Fallen was released earlier had a big effect on the sales for the what is it called White House Down? Because
I think it did, because if you look at when they had the similar issue with Paul Blart and the Seth Rogen one, Paul Blart did really well, and the Seth Rogen movie tanked.
Yeah, because I felt that since I already saw. I watched a story with the White House being taken over that I had no inclination to watch White House Down. I figured it was going to be the same thing, but less action, I guess. I guess the trailer sold it to me as though there's more humor in this one and less kick-ass. Because with Gerard Butler in Olympus Has Fallen, it was more serious, and he was playing that very much like a die-hard Bruce Willis role, right? He's the only man. He's the one man who could save them all, right? And White House Down, the trailer looks like a team. You know, it was the president and the other guy, what's his name, Channing Tatum, working together. And so I didn't care for the humorous version of the same story.
Which movie had more handsome men?
Like, I prefer the looks of Gerard Butler.
And yes, that's the right answer.
The man they chose to play the president was also very good looking. Morgan Freeman, right?
He's no, there. It's Aaron Eckhart. He was Two-Face. Morgan Freeman's the black guy.
No, I meant in Olympus Has Fallen, there's Morgan Freeman, too.
Oh, yes, there is, yes.
Triple X State of the Union. This is the third, I believe the second iteration. This is where Vin Diesel decided not to go with any of his franchises because he's an idiot. And so he got out of the Fast and Furious and Triple X, which is was his two staples. And so they decide to go with Friday's own Ice Cube to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Production budget of about 110, I believe, but it's not on the on the Box Office Mojo site, but what I saw was around $100 million. Gross total of about 70. So we're talking $65 million loss here. I think it was a real big risk to put Ice Cube. I guess it's cool that they gave him a shot in a big action role, but yeah, it just totally flopped. The story was pretty lame, but you know, the first Triple X wasn't that great either, but Vin Diesel was really the draw here. So I think they just shouldn't have gone ahead without Vin Diesel. I think it was a last minute attempt, you know, to get this movie out here, but it just, he's not a draw for a big action movie. That's the only thing I can see, really, that was the big hindrance in this. I actually saw it myself, and yeah, he didn't pull off that action role. You know, he just comes off as a stoner rapper, and I hate to stereotype the guy, but it just, he doesn't ooze an action star, you know what I mean? So, did anybody else check this out?
Yeah, I saw it. Same thing. I agree with you. Well, to me, the big thing is like you're having a sequel and your main character isn't in it. Like that just doesn't make much sense to me. It's like having
like the Bourne.
I was gonna say it's like having a Bourne movie without Matt Damon. Matt Damon, you beat me to it, old school. You're too good.
So we putting Triple X to rest that early? I guess
it was, yeah, it's pretty obvious why it didn't do well. I mean, people went to see the first one because Vin Diesel was in it. Vin Diesel's not in it, so
there you go.
Yeah, the numbers that are on Wikipedia for the did box office about 71 and had a $113 million budget.
Yeah, and I'm sure this got marketed up the wazoo too. So all right, let's get into our next trailer here. Don't look at your sheets. I want to see if you guys can guess it.
Your son seems to be interested in only one thing. All he talks about, all he seems capable of thinking about,
is automobile racing.
Yeah, I gave it away.
I don't want to.
Geely. Racing's everything. For my family, it isn't just a sport. It's way more important than that. It's like a religion.
Are you ready to become a real race car driver? Then sign that contract.
He's just trying to scare you, son.
What you do behind...
John Goodman was in this?
...and the wheel of a race car has nothing to do with business.
You walk away from me, you walk away from this deal, no matter how well you drive, you won't win, you won't place. I guarantee you right now, you won't even finish the race.
You think you can drive a car and change the world? It doesn't work like that.
Maybe not. But it's the only thing I know how to do, and I gotta do something.
Wasn't my idea.
Oh, no?
It was his.
This one was...
120 budget, about 193 million worldwide.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, this was from the makers, Wachowski brothers, creators of the Matrix trilogy. So I guess it was just they were given... I mean, I was a fan of the cartoon as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah. So that's why it kind of piqued my interest a little bit. But it seems like the, I don't know if you guys seen Ultraviolet, which is the over CGI.
Yeah. Isn't that too much? Is that an Uwe Boll film, Ultraviolet? Or no?
Ultraviolet is an excellent film. What are you guys talking about?
What's not?
No.
Susan Sarandon's in this, John Goodman. So yeah.
Wait. John Goodman's not. John Goodman doesn't mean. John Goodman's been in a lot of crap too, guys.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it had the basis of a good supporting cast. It's got a name, you know, the Speed Racer is a known commodity. I guess it just didn't draw with fans,
I'm noticing a trend. It's like these movies that don't make much money are movies where it seems like the creators really like the brand and the studio will just let them do it
because of prior successes.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm noticing that trend a lot with what we're discussing here. Yeah.
Real quick, I think it kind of goes back to, I think, what you were saying earlier, Will, about there being, like, how much the brand is of, just doesn't have that power anymore.
Yeah.
Because I think Speed Racer, of all the Japanime that came out around that time, of the earlier, I think Sailor Moon, Voltron, stuff along those lines. Yeah, sure. I think this might be towards the bottom of that list.
It is.
And I think if you're going to make any type of money off any type of anime, you're going to do it on the most recent ones that have been out because you're going to pander to the kids who are absolutely in love with it, not the adults who might have grown out of it. And I think Speed Racer is one of those things where I don't think I know many people who are really into it, so I don't even think I know many people who haven't seen this movie.
No, I didn't watch it. Did anybody here watch it?
No.
But Heavyset pretty much said it, where it's not relevant. It wasn't relevant enough, and the weird mix of terrible CGI and live action, like, I think they should have went full animated if they're making this movie.
Like Astro Boy.
Yeah,
right?
Or like, I don't make it like Pixar type animation, or instead of putting the live action where it just, I don't know, to me it looks really cheesy just looking at the pictures and the trailer. So I think if you would have went like animated, it would have kind of at least taken away that cheesiness.
I agree with Heavyset saying that it's not recent enough, because I remember that later on the film Initial D came out, and that didn't do too badly because it was fairly new. It's a racing movie, but it's the same story. But it worked out. You know, it didn't bomb like this one.
Do you guys think Ender's Game is going to have the same issue?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
No.
Because it is an old property.
Yeah, I think it might have an issue.
But the thing with Ender's Game is it's a beloved property.
Wait.
Spirit
is beloved too.
John Carter at its time was, I'm sure.
Just because it's beloved doesn't mean it would do well. I remember the Golden Compass was beloved and they ruined that one.
We're talking a whole new level here. it's considered one of the best 100 books of all time.
So is Golden Compass for fantasy.
We're talking in general.
No, dude, it's on the list of 100 best novels of all time. I know that for a fact. It's not. It's not even on the New York Times best, modern novels list.
Yeah, but we're New York Times is a bunch of snooty stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can also argue, you know, if you look at Lord of the Rings, that did well. So I guess it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. No, but Lord of the Rings is something that they always wanted to make, like a Spider-Man movie.
But isn't Ender's Game the same idea?
Is it? Did they always want to make a movie, or they're just looking for a franchise?
Issue with Ender's Game is up until maybe the last 5 or 10 years, they thought it wasn't filmable.
Oh, okay.
Because there's certain scenes in the movie where it really takes to today's technology to kind of bring it all together. It was kind of like Lord of the Rings in the past, where for 50 years they thought, you know, they couldn't film it. And eventually, you know, Peter Jackson had the technology and the vision for it. And Ender's Game's kind of similar, where there's certain scenes that couldn't be made 20 years ago and be believable.
The big problem, the big issue right now for Ender's Game is actually not related to the fact if it's beloved or not. The author is getting a lot of flack for his homophobic rants. He's written essays for a certain church. I don't know if it's Lutheran. I don't know. I don't want to put names. I'm not sure. But he's part of a certain church, and he's very much anti-gay. Right now, I'm a lot of hot water, so this might not work out. By the way, DC.
But he could retract. I mean, he can go. You know,
he didn't.
He can go. But he can go sigh from like Gangnam Style and say, "Oh, my bad." You know.
No, but he didn't. So.
Oh, he didn't.
Okay. No. Like DC. Listen to this. Okay, DC Comics was going to write a story. He wrote a story of Superman that DC was going to publish, and the penciler said, "Because of all this heat around this guy, I'm not going to draw it." So DC never published his story. So, but now the movie's coming out, and this guy's the author, Orson Scott Card is the author, and I don't know how that's going to work. There's currently some boycotting towards the movie.
The only issue with that is that might actually increase the buzz and have more people go see it.
No. Usually,
we have seen that in the past.
No. We've seen that when a movie itself is the controversy. Here, only the author. It's not related to the movie itself. Do you know what I mean?
I'm interested to see how it does.
Like, for example, if somebody does a movie, it's controversy because you have Kristen Stewart blowing two dudes in a car, I might go watch it. Or Selena Gomez in, what was that
movie? In.
Spring Breakers. Yeah, I'm in. I'm like, I'll watch this.
Yeah, it was a total tease.
A quick note for Ender's Game. It actually made the list of 100 best novels of the 20th century.
Wait, no. Wait,
yeah, modern libraries.
Wait, no, not New York Times, though.
Yeah, but okay, who cares about that?
All right, let's...
Sorry, we're going
let's, off. Let's move on to probably the greatest movie of all time.
Rocky?
This is not as bad as people say.
Don't you worry, you little gangster head about it.
She's tougher.
People skills. These are things you're going to want to work on.
Now.
Go ahead and just take half of my bed. We'll do the whole thing professionally.
Professionally.
What started as an unlikely partnership will become the summer's most irresistible romantic comedy.
Are you and Larry sweethearts?
Ma. Geely, rated R. Now playing in theaters everywhere.
All right, so this had a lot of negative hype going in. This is pretty much near the...
It still does. The whole Batfleck thing is all based on this.
This is pretty much the end of the run of the whole Bennifer thing. And I think that was the main reason why people just crapped on it. I mean, I've seen the movie myself. It's not the greatest movie, I'm going to say. But it's not as bad as... I mean... They've made Titanic 2. Like, there's been worse movies out there. You know what I mean?
Sharknado is awesome, though.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't get the budget. I think it must be casting. It must be casting that would be so much. $54 million for this. It's got to be, you know, half of that's got to be J-Lo salary, I think. But it grossed about $7 million. So, you know, talking about a $50 million loss on a rom-com. Inflated budget to begin with, and I know they did rewriting. They tried it to rewrite the end because test audiences crapped on. I think it was dead from the get go. People just got fed up with this whole relationship between the two. It's a bit of a ripoff of Chasing Amy too, if you think about it. But yeah, just to me, it's just Bennifer. This is why it did bad. But anybody else want to chime in on Geely?
Yeah, I've got a lot to say. I hope our audience doesn't mind me talking a lot about this. I hate this movie, too, just for the fact of the whole Bennifer thing. But I watched some interesting stuff lately about the film. It turns out that the movie was actually found to be quite genius in certain ways, but it was advertised wrongly. Like, for example, the reason why the movie is genius has nothing to do with the advertising that's in it. The film is actually about that there's a lot of nuances. Like, I'm sure – let me know if you caught this old school, okay? Let me know. You watched the film. J-Lo is a lesbian, right?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
I caught that.
Okay, good. Now
gobble, gobble?
No, wait. Why would she end up with Ben Affleck?
God, I don't know.
Because Ben Affleck was playing a very feminine male. And the whole deal was that the situation was that she was... The only reason why she could be with him is because he was feminine. So, for example, when he's looking at his nails, he's doing it the woman's way. Also, he doesn't catch when his mom's talking to Jennifer Lopez. The mom's realizing that this girl actually does swing both ways. Ben Affleck doesn't get it. So there's actually a whole difference between identities and two people coming together and not understanding each other that way. And also, it's not really a rom-com. It's more of a gangster film. But I'm not saying that I like this movie. I didn't watch it. I'm just putting someone else's opinion that I found very interesting regarding the movie. All these nuances.
Walken and Pacino were
Pacino's were great. See, yeah. Walken's presence is amazing. The whole thing, because all he's trying to really do in that film is freak them out. Now, people watched this and said, you know what? That's stupid. Walken doesn't make any freaking sense. Why would you have a power in your head? The whole point of that character was not there to just be goofy, even though Walken's a great job at that. The whole point was that in this gangster movie, these people are such amateurs that cops sent in this goofball to just try to intimidate the shit out of them. Looking at it this way, the movie doesn't seem all that bad. It was just that the advertising doesn't show any of these nuances at all. Also, it costs way too damn much.
Yeah, way too much for us.
Way too much.
Gangster rom-com. Anybody else want to talk about?
J-Lo's ass was modified on the poster.
Duly noted. Okay. Anybody else want to chime in on Geely? Yeah, I figured that.
I think it's actually funny for because while you are bringing these up, I'm throwing them up on Wikipedia and reading some of the stuff. And at the point, this had set a record of the biggest drop off from week one and two or two and three of 82%. I think that was from one and two, and by the third weekend, it was only in 73 U.S. theaters.
Jeez. Yeah. To me, again, it was dead on arrival, just because of buzz that came
this. Yeah, it totally was.
Here's a surprise. Green Lantern, this is also starring our famous Ryan Reynolds. I saw this, wasn't too impressed with the story, but again, I'm not a huge comic book guy, so I can't say, well, they didn't follow this, they didn't follow whatever. Really,
if you want,
there you go, and I'm sure you will in a second. Huge production budget of around $200 million, gross $200 million, but again, because you chop off about half, it's lost a lot of money for the studios. I guess it's really Ryan Reynolds' attempt at leading a franchise, big action franchise, and it did not pan out. Anybody else want to chime in on the Green Lantern?
Yeah, it's not even just Ryan Reynolds leading a franchise. It's actually the DC Universe trying to get a step up from Marvel. Because before Man of Steel, this was their big attempt. Because Batman was not related. Yeah. So they were going to try this, and this failed. So they have to go back to the drawing board, which I found sad. Also, how can I say that? They were trying hard. I mean, they have Martin Campbell directing, who's an excellent, excellent director. He did two of the best Bond movies out there. I believe it's Casino Royale and GoldenEye. So this guy knows his stuff. But I don't know, he didn't seem to know Green Lantern at all. I'll just give an example of what... First of all, the visuals are crappy.
Really? I actually like the visuals.
No. Okay, the villain looks like a pile of shit. I'm not being mean. I'm just talking literally. He looks like a bunch of doo-doo.
You're not a big fan of Peter?
Why, duty? What? Who, Peter?
Peter Sarsgaard?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about the actual villain in the movie. The big pile of shit. No, I don't mind Peter Sarsgaard. He's okay.
He was known as the pilot, the POS.
Yeah, he was known as the duty monster, because that's what he looked like. He looked like a bunch of poop going down. But the problem is that in the comics, the villain's actually, that monster is actually awesome. It's very insectoid and creepy looking, and it's supposed to be the embodiment of fear. And just to get really nerdy, in the film, instead of giving you the monster, they just have the monster inhabiting a guardian and ends up looking like a poop monster. They would have been better off just making it be the monster itself, the actual root of evil, instead of that stupid thing. Also, another thing I find totally wasted that makes no sense. I don't know if people watched it. They had the whole scenes on Oa with the Green Lanterns. But what did they do? Nothing. They just say their little oath and then they point their wings to the sky and go like, yay! But
yeah, they're having a meeting. I mean, what gets accomplished in meetings anyways? Absolutely nothing.
You're right. That's very true. But it's all wasted potential. The whole movie is wasted potential. They do nothing with it. They don't use these Green Lanterns at all. They never go back to Earth. There's nothing of it. We didn't even need to see
They're busy doing other shit, man. Well, I mean,
they weren't. They were just talking and going like, hey, guys.
No, they're
like,
figuring shit out, man. They, I mean,
well, you got they, traffic. They fucking together. Failed at it. If these guys are guards of the universe, we're in deep fucking shit. Like that monstrous stuff. So the film just wasn't working. But you know what, though? It has a great supporting cast. You look at it, you got Tim Robbins. Pretty fun. But then again, yeah. Oh, it's got Mark Strong. It. Yeah, it's all crap.
This is one of the two movies I've ever fallen asleep in. I don't know whether it was because of the movie itself or my work schedule I had at the time when I was working 12-hour shifts. And by the time I would wake up, it was when my girlfriend would be getting home and she'd want to go to the movies. And this, like, legitimately, I fell asleep during this. And this is one of the worst movies I think I have seen. Like, well, reviews from my girlfriend between this and Year One.
So you're saying this is the cinematic equivalent to Ambien?
I don't have any desire to want to try to rewatch this movie. I think I don't know whether it was how the colors or everything, but to me it was just very dark. And I don't mean dark like it's dim. You're already in a dark theater. You're gonna go to sleep.
I actually fell asleep during The Lord of the Rings.
Well, that's because it's nothing but walking.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's a long movie. So did I.
By the way, guys, to be fair, I fell asleep during Return of the Jedi. Don't tell me.
Ooh, Dad, yeah, don't tell anybody on that one.
Well, not what, you were, how old were you then? Like, you were a young kid?
I was watching with you.
He's like 16 now. What
me?
Are you?
Okay. I found the movie really dull. When they get at the end, when they're on freaking Endor with the bears, it's the teddy bears, it's boring.
All right, I'm going to switch it to Evan Almighty. This is the sequel to Bruce Almighty. Bruce Almighty did pretty well at the box office. The only problem with that is there's no Jim Carrey in this one. This is a very big risk, putting Steve Carell in a massive, big-budget comedy. It's had a production budget of about $175, and it only grossed worldwide about that same amount. So you could figure that's not too great. We're talking about, if you do the math quickly, about $90 million loss there. So in my opinion, like, I actually saw the movie. It was okay. I wasn't blown away by it. It definitely wasn't like the first one. But to me, it just, Carell wasn't a draw. And the production budget was too high for their lead male. Anybody else want to chime in?
I didn't watch this movie because it didn't have Jim Carrey. So there you go.
Yeah. You're probably like a lot of people.
Yeah, me too. I didn't. But that's a trend. Don't we see? We see a trend. Isn't it just like the same thing as the XXX? Or yeah, you have
the Bourne movie. Yeah.
And yeah. We see two trends. One, directors are given this vanity project.
Too much power.
Yeah, too much power. Or like too much decision on like what to do. And the other one is that you have a sequel which doesn't have the draw that the first one had.
Well, I think what they were trying to capitalize on was the success of Bruce Almighty, but at the same time, the success of everything Steve Carell was doing, especially with The Office. And I think they were expecting a lot of the same crowd to go and watch this movie. Now, I'm a big fan of The Office. I like Bruce Almighty, but I don't think I seen this until I was able to see it for free.
He's too niche to be given a $175 million budget. I mean, it gets smarted, okay, and that had about a $60 million budget, so that makes sense. But to spend $200 million on Steve Carell for a comedy, I can't see that making sense. I can't see how a studio would sign off on that.
Well, I think it's because, like, you look at some of the comedies or any other movie he's done where he's towards the top of the bill and it's made a lot of money, there's a lot of good people under him, too. And I think this movie, he was pretty much in. Morgan Freeman's in it, but I don't remember him being in it for much. Actually, if you go on Wikipedia and it says starring Steve Carell, Morgan Freeman, that's it. It doesn't have a big list like 40-Year-Old Virgin. I mean, that was a huge movie, and he was technically
– Yeah, but that 40-Year-Old Virgin didn't cost $175 million.
Well, yeah, that at the same time too.
All right, let's get into the second greatest movie of all time.
239,000 miles from Earth in the blackness of space, there is a giant rock called the Moon. And in the year 2087, its future will be in the hands of one man. Eddie Murphy is...
Pluto Nash?
Pluto?
Pluto Nash?
It is a pleasure to meet me.
Come on, let's go! The battle between pretty evil...
Let's get it right this time.
tasty good.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at me.
Begins.
Well, we were thinking a little more bubblage.
Hey!
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Murphy.
A pleasure to meet you, Pluto.
You married twins, huh?
No, they're not twins. I met the perfect woman, and then I had a clone.
Which one's which?
Who cares?
The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Whoa!
To me, this seems like a Total Recall had a baby with Beverly Hills Cop. And me, you know what I mean? Even just looking at the trailer, saying to myself, like, how is this going to make money? A production budget of $100 million, grossed $7 million worldwide. So if you do your math there, it's about a $97 million loss. It was so bad that Eddie Murphy didn't do interviews for it, I think, after the first week or something. So that's usually not a good sign either. Yeah, I haven't seen it to this day. I don't see the point. I don't see how he could come together. It just doesn't make sense for him to be in some kind of space comedy. I can't see who signed off on this casting at all. Warner Brothers was just it's retarded. That's all it is.
One of the things with this movie, if I remember correctly, like, they had no confidence in it that they kept it on the shelf for a couple of years.
Oh, that doesn't help
either.
So,
I mean, when that's already happening, you know the movie is pretty damn terrible. And like you said,
the problem, too, with doing something like that is the internet is going to find out. And nowadays, that stuff spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, like, Murphy did absolutely no publicity for this movie because even he knew it was terrible. I mean, how do you promote this movie? It's like, yeah, I'm in a terrible movie. They kept it on the shelf for 2 years because it's so good. It's like, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things that you wonder what people were thinking when it was made.
Did they even promote this? I don't even remember the existence of this movie.
I saw a few commercials, but none of the actors promoted it at all. And it just, like, when that happened, like, when your own actors aren't promoting it, it's pretty much telling you something right there.
Yeah.
The film is not a comedy. That's the part that pissed me off when I was watching
it.
It's not.
It's Eddie
Murphy. The trailer's cut out that way. Yeah, yeah, I know. So what? Not a comedy. It's like, what was it? The Majestic
Hangover.
With Jim Carrey. Not a comedy.
I actually liked The Majestic.
I didn't say it was bad. I said it's not a comedy. Like, you could cut the trailer and make it like, hey, look. Or like, no, better is The Truman Show. Cut a trailer into like a comedy movie. Right. Hey, look, it's Jim Carrey. It's like, you know those mock YouTube trailers? And they change the tone? That's what this trailer is. The movie's just a space adventure film with Eddie Murphy. It's not a comedy. There are no laughs. The only one laugh is actually in the trailer. So that's, it's all dooming. It was a shit movie.
Well, you go.
Yeah, and film in Montreal. Why not?
Well, that's a failure right there. I would watch Eddie Murphy for a comedy film,
Too bad. Didn't
happen. Well, it's categorized as a science fiction comedy film, but I think one of the biggest things of going off what was already been said of it was sat on for 2 years. Actually, the film originated in the mid-1980s, and then the script went through numerous revisions, and then production finally began in April of 2000. So basically, this script was sat on for 15 years before going into production, and then after production, it was sat on for 2 years. I think it was doomed somewhere in the 90s. It just one of those things, I think, when it kind of everything got going downhill with it, and probably everything just turned to shit. Who knows what that original script was like in the 1980s? If it was made back then, it probably would have been a shit ton better movie. And hell, Eddie Murphy, it wasn't, I don't know if he would have originally been in it, but basically, if you look at all the movies he was in right around, I say, 1998 when he did Dr. Dolittle, everything after that, like he tried to do of his normal, his normal movies, bombed.
You won't admit to it, though. He argues that. He had an interview with Barbara Walters, and she was saying how he had a couple of failures, and he refused to acknowledge that.
But you know what? His best movie is his first movie. Does that say something? 48 Hours? None of the other ones are rated as high in IMDb, sorry, in Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big fan of the first two Beverly Hills Cop.
Did you know those were supposed to be Stallone movies?
Oh, that would have sucked with Stallone.
Those were written for Stallone.
That would have sucked.
But they weren't very comedy-driven. They were supposed to be like, because you can tell how it's kind of looked like Tango and Cash type of stuff in there. Yeah, and when Eddie Murphy came in, they started adding the comedy bits. But it was supposed to be a Stallone movie.
Any other honorable mentions? that we may not have mentioned on the list here?
One movie in particular I seen as a kid, and I think our local newspaper used to run reviews in the newspaper. I don't know whether it was from a bigger source or what. The only time I had ever seen a no-star review was after I'd seen this movie, and it was Jack Frost.
Oh, with Batman again.
Which Jack Frost?
I knew someone was going to say that. I'm talking about the Michael Keaton Jack Frost movie. Not the, I think there's like a kind of like a horror movie? Yeah, horror movie.
Oh,
called
I saw
Jack
the
Frost.
Horror movie.
Yeah, there's Jack Frost and Jack Frost 2, but the Michael Keaton wholesome Christmas movie that it tries to be, that movie was really bad.
The dad that turns to a snowman. Right?
Yes.
Gallifrey, pre-show you were mentioning the Final Fantasy movie.
Yeah, Final Fantasy The Spirits Within. I watched it when I was younger. I own the DVD too, so this is before the internet was big, or so I didn't even have I couldn't check how much the movie made. I'm very surprised that it's on the list for top, like, what is it, 50 worst movies ever?
The budget was between 115 and 150, and it grossed about 85. Yeah. So yeah,
when this movie came out, it was a buzz. There was a buzz that it was going to, I don't know, it was a breakthrough for computer animated films. You know, it was famous for that, and I guess nobody cared for it. You know what?
Do you think the hindrance was the fact that it was completely CGI and that there wasn't live actors?
No, I don't believe it's that. What I believe was that it did not even stay true to Final Fantasy series, the franchise. So it couldn't hook fans, and it couldn't hook a general audience who found the story kind of bland. And fans were like, what? Well, there's no elements in here that had anything to do with Final Fantasy. So there you go.
Yeah. The Postman. This is with Kevin Costner. I saw it. I think I saw it with Kebo Trek.
Yeah, man. I liked it.
I watched it.
It was good.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good
it
movie.
Was long as hell, but it was pretty good.
I know,
but
guys,
yeah.
As a kid, I didn't know. I thought it was the Western. I didn't know it was about the future. Well, I didn't know it took place in the future.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Made $18 million within the $80 million budget. I think Waterworld bombed too, as well,
but
if I'm
guys,
correct.
Do you remember? Did you ever watch the Simpsons episode where Lisa's watching a DVD of The Postman and she clicks on view commentary and like the side of the screen shows Kevin Costner talking and he's like, I'm sorry, this movie's so bad. And she's like, oh, don't worry, Mr. Costner. And he steps out because it turns out he wasn't back up the TV doing his own commentary.
That's awesome. Yeah, it wasn't that. I thought it was pretty good.
I think we also have to mention, I mean, we've talked about it before, but you got to mention Lone Ranger.
Yeah, Lone Ranger. Again, I think you did bad timing.
Oh, no, that movie just cost way too much.
Cost way too, yeah, for a Western, a big budget Western, and wasn't marketed well.
And another one I'll bring up, because I don't actually remember it, but it's from 2011. It's a movie called Mars Needs Moms.
I never saw that. It's a kids movie.
Yeah, but it's like I was looking at the list, and it had a $150 million budget, and it made $39
million.
Oh, wow. So they're estimating the loss at like $130 million for it. And I'm
I think you said it. Like, you never heard of it.
That's the thing. Like, I'm looking through the list, and every other one, Stealth, Sahara, Jack the Giant Slayer, all those, John Carter, I've heard of. This one I don't even remember, and I'm kind of surprised because you figure with a movie that's $150 million, like, we would have at least heard of it.
I remember seeing a lot of this movie, if I'm correct. Wasn't The Rock in it, or no?
No, wait, No.
Yeah, that's another one.
That's the other one, that's the same.
Yeah, I do remember seeing stuff about this, and I'm trying to remember what they were trying to pull. I think it was kind of like to get the kids to want to go see it because of the whole thing of your mom being taken away, and I think that was kind of their whole thing behind it.
Yeah, it was.
And it was one of those March movies too, and it had a $150 million budget and only made $38 million, but it's a pretty big budget movie coming out in March.
Yeah,
that's, we know that's like probably the worst time to come out, because at least in the summer you have the summer blockbusters. The winter you have the Christmas. You have the middle ground between summer and fall, which has hit and misses, especially with Halloween in the middle. But I think it's that other end of the spectrum where it's just that January to mid-April where you can get some complete shit.
All right, let's close the show. Get your plugs, final thoughts. We'll start with Heavyset.
Well, of course, you can go to, what is that again? kayfabesports.com. Check out everything going on with Kayfabe Sports Radio. Got
all the links, everything, blah, blah, blah. I think I need to put up one for oldschoolmovies.net. I do have one for the Trending Topics Network.
You better put that up, man.
Well, I'm going to be running a commercial, so you need to get a commercial together, and I'll throw in the middle of the show. I got the Trending Topics one.
Yeah, I've got a commercial for you.
Okay, cool. But yeah,
I will. Let's get your plug.
What's our commercial? Is us just like going LOZM?
No, I got commercials. Don't worry.
Okay, cool. I got no plugs right now, but soon, guys, soon. But don't hold your breath. You never know.
Gallifrey, let's get your final thoughts.
So looking at this list, I hope some listeners will notice that John Carter, I like John Carter very much. So if you get a chance, go watch it. And also Hugo, it's a nice gem among this list.
Hugo's great.
Even though it bombed in the box office, please go watch Hugo. I liked it a lot.
Gebo Trek.
Since I mentioned it in early, I'll say, read Ender's Game if you have a chance. It's an amazing book.
All right, so for Kebo Trek, Heavy Set, Will, and Gallifrey, Mr. Old School, thank you very much for listening.
You all. Tonight I want to show you all. Hey, what you got? A million could have never bought. Hey, we're going to party like it's 1942. I want to show the finer things in life to you. So just forget about the world and say I do. I'm coming for ya, I'm coming for ya. Cause all I need is a beauty and a beat who can make my life complete. Whoa, whoa, oh, oh. It's all about you when the music makes you move. Baby.
Actually made something decent out of a Justin Bieber song.
Oh my god, I was just wondering. Justin Bieber.
Did you catch that? Yeah.
Do it like you do. Oh, 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 oh.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge. Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Did you know we've moved?
Move it! I like to move it, move it!
Come on, move it! Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Pending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
White House Down. Now, this is the Channing Tatum, Michael J. Fox, Jamie Fox.
Wait, I'm also downloading. Does that have to do with...
Yeah, try not to do that, please.
Okay, fine. Cancel.
She's always downloading. We're downloading.
Stop all the downloading.
Oh, wait, what's that from? I heard that a bunch of
times. G.I. Joe.
That's... You're not my dad. Whoa.
And so I didn't care for the humorous version of the same story.
Stop all the downloading!
Question for you, that's the right answer.
The man they chose to play the president was also very good looking.
Stop all the downloading!
Morgan Freeman, right?
Stop all the downloading!
Dude, since we cut her out, nobody's gonna understand that. Wait, did you watch the one where, like, the kid, the guy asked the kid, like, does your mom still
have
that? It's not me.
Not me.
Stop all the downloading!
Hey, wait.
Kev, why do you keep doing that?
I have no idea.
Oh, he was known as, like, the duty monster, because that's what he looked like. He looked like a bunch of poop.